the district championship the last 2 years. Hillsboro won it 2 years ago. Windsor took it from the Hawks last year. Windsor has won two district championships in their time playing boys soccer. That was back in 2012 and then last year, 2017. By the way, that one little tidbit that I teased probably a good 45 minutes ago, Coach, never got around to it because of the high action as Hillsboro has a throw in here, is that going back to 1999, Hillsboro and Windsor have played each other 34 times, and 23 of those 34 have been one-goal games.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and, well, here we go. Sometimes history repeats itself, and it's 1-1 right now, and this game is destined to end with a one-goal difference. 13.5 to play in this first overtime period. Again, a golden goal situation, so first to score wins it. And so Hillsboro gets a second opportunity on a throw-in. It'll be Kyle Warren finding the head of a Windsor Owl, who heads it back towards the 30 of Hillsboro, of Windsor. Hillsboro, though, steals it away, and the back line for the Owls, center back there, Holmes, able to kick it forward, and ball rattles about off the shin of Dylan Mooney. Mooney, though, gets it back as it was Mooney and Tanner Berry coming together there. Now Berry gets possession of it after Holmes finds him. Berry turns with the left foot, dumps it off towards Borja Pena, racing through the middle of the field, 30. Let's go of it towards Stelling. Stelling, with the ball getting away, will backtrack towards the 20. Couple of sliding efforts there by the Hillsboro Hawks defenders, but Stelling sticks with it, then his pass towards the center of the pitch is knocked down by Hillsboro, but a loose ball there, top of the 18-yard box, gets away, and the back line for the Hawks will try to clear it forward. Midfielder comes forward, Barton, earns possession again for the Owls. Slipping around the turf and maintaining his balance is Windsor's Isaac Bello. Bello loses it, gets it back after the pass there by Andrew Portlock. So a couple of younger guys playing for the Windsor Owls here in this overtime period, making some noise, but Hillsboro eventually takes it back. Spinning over the top of the ball, Moore draws a triple team and then pulls down Borja Pena. Free kick coming for the Owls. A little nudge in the back from the right elbow of Moore to Borja Pena. Things getting a little chippy.
They are, and that's one concern. Honestly, what I don't want is a second yellow for somebody. That would drastically change this game and make it, honestly, ugly, because right now each team has different moments when they're pressing.
Long ball in, Mahone rattling about, and a goal is scored, but it's called off for a foul by Windsor. The left foot, I believe, who is that scored? Oh, they call it a handball? So a foul. I think it was Barton that scored with the left foot, but they wave it off.
In fact, he got the first goal against us the other night. Actually, it was the second goal. It was beautiful. They put the ball across the box, and he came on the back post and put it in, kind of similar to that right there.
Yep. So still 1-1. Didn't mean to give you Windsor fans a heart attack there, or Hillsboro fans. But when the ball goes in the back of the net, the play-by-play guy gets excited, and then he sees what happened on the whistle. So, again, a handball, as Coach Reiser indicated. But here's Windsor through midfield. Borja Pena trying to race past Dixon. He does, and finds Siegel around the 20. Far side of the pitch, through ball, giving chase a couple of Owls. But coming off the line, Seth Oshie, the goalkeeper, scoops it up and will slow things down.
Windsor again trying to find a little slot pass past the last line of the defense from the mids to the strikers, and just being a little bit off in that action.
Moore chasing the ball and winds up going knee to knee with Hayden Holmes and brings him down, in a free kick given, and Holmes staying down flat on its belly.
I think the ref didn't give any cards
because
it was just more unlucky. They both, when Mark was had missed the ball, he caught the guy's foot and just slipped, which pulled his feet up from under him.
And I think he may have accidentally threw a shoulder into his chest as well, because Holmes got up with his hand flattened across his chest, right on top of that number 4 that he's got. So probably picking up a couple of different nicks there on that misfortunate slide by Moore. Here's a ball up in the air for the Owls. They have possession on the hill in the Hillsboro half. Here's Borja Pena, left foot through, ball skips off the Hillsboro defender, deflects into the 18-yard box, right foot shot is missed all by, who was that, Stelling. He just totally got that one wrong. I think his feet were too close together when he tried the shot, and it just skied high and far wide of the near post.
Yeah, great opportunity. Nice ball through from Borja Pena, and he tried to take it one time, which is right, which is what he should do. I think he hits that right. We have be a real challenge for the goalkeeper.
Isaac Bello comes off, and it's going to be, I believe number 20, Andrew Portlock. No, he's still been on there, so not quite sure who subbed in for the Owls. Might have been Cody Wilson. But either way, it's possession for Windsor. 9:05 to play in this first overtime. Still tied 1-1. Golden goal in the district playoffs. And Hillsborough with the ball in their half of the pitch. And a foul is going to be called going over the back. Hickson on Siegel. Siegel earns the free kick for Windsor. And they'll send eight guys forward. Goalkeeper stays back. One defender back for the Owls. And now here's the free kick going to be taken by Mahone. Far side of the pitch, a good 40 yards away from goal. Sends it in. It's going towards goal, headed into the corner of the net. And that's a game winner for Tanner Berry. And the Windsor Owls are back-to-back district champions.
That was gorgeous. Beautiful ball by Mahone. In fact, I watched. For some reason, my eye automatically went to Berry, who was standing a little more towards the near post at the top of the 18, and he made an arcing run to the backside and found the ball beautifully, hit it into the far post, and absolutely beautiful way to win the game. I know that's disheartening to Hillsborough, but beautiful ending for Windsor.
Tanner Berry picks up his 16th goal of this season, the biggest goal for him this year. And the Windsor Owls are advancing to the Class 3 sectionals. A 2-1 final score at the 8.5-minute mark of the first overtime period. Coach, wow, that was beautiful. That was almost professional-like. The Mahone delivery was perfect. It went right to the center of the penalty box. Berry, as you mentioned, sort of falling backwards a little bit, a strong enough head to get it back going the other direction. So, you know, as the ball continues to travel, the goalkeeper, of course, is going to keep following where the ball is. And so he just had his balance wrong, the goalkeeper there for Hillsborough, Oshie, and just no chance. Berry, of course, a tall guy, able to jump up over the defenders and head that one in, as you said, back the other direction to the top of the net there.
Yeah, there's nothing anybody could do. Really, you've got to give it to somebody who should have been marking Berry. That's about your only place to turn. Goalie couldn't do anything about it. That ball, as you said, ended up about 8 yards from the goal, which is ideal. Allows your strikers to come in and attack the ball, but still keep the goalie out of the play because the goalie's not going to cover that much distance in order to save that. So, complete credit to that whole play from Windsor.
What a fantastic ball game. The atmosphere, fan-wise, pretty good. Weather-wise, not so great. But both teams, as Coach Reiser said in pregame, having to deal with the great equalizer, which is the weather. And, you know, honestly, when it all came down to it, I don't think it affected too many of the goals that were scored here this evening. So, congratulations to the Windsor Owls. They battle the cold. They battle the wet. They battle a 1-0 deficit. They get a penalty kick from Jake Mahone and then assist to Mahone at Tanner Berry with the game-winning goal. Again, the Windsor Owls back-to-back district champions for the first time in their boys' soccer program. We'll step aside here for a few minutes and wrap this one up here on KJF.
Holtz Tractor and Equipment continues to be the leader of compact tractor sales for St. Francis and surrounding counties. How, you ask? It's simple. By selling the best quality for the best price with a proven best warranty on the market. Hi, it's Hannah with LS, the major brand maker of two other brands. Brands that you already know and love. At Coles Tractor and Equipment, you get that same franchise quality with the best 6-year parts and labor warranty and more standard features than I can name in this 60-second ad. This month, get the 35-horsepower 4-wheel drive diesel tractor with loader and skid steer front bucket for only $16,999. That's right, get the 35-horsepower compact diesel tractor with loader for only $16,999. Give us a call today, 573-756-4353, or stop by Coles Tractor and Equipment, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Coles Tractor and Equipment. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Mario's Italian Farmington serves the best Italian food in the area. Pizza, pastas, calzones, strombolis, salads, and sub sandwiches. Huge large portions with the freshest ingredients. Get Mario's full menu online at mariositalia.com. You'll be satisfied with all the choices Mario's has to offer. Dine in or have it delivered or have them cater your next special event. Open 7 days a week, serving lunch and dinner. Mario's Italia, located in the factory at the corner of 1st and A Streets in downtown Farmington.
Josh Harris is on the line with Midwest Sports Center, Highway 67 in Farmington. Josh, it's not too early to start thinking about Christmas, and you have some great stocking stuffers, don't you?
That's right, we do, Mark. Remember, on the road, off the road, or on the water, Midwest Sports Center, your ultimate outdoor toy store. Payments on ATVs as low as $79 a month. Side-by-side starting out at $129 a month. Stop in and see us at 124 Walker Drive, right next to Redfield Collision Center, Farmington, Missouri.
And that's Josh Harris at Midwest Sports Center in Farmington.
Have you ever been to dinner with a friend and realized you don't have cash to split the check? Or do you need to pay the soccer coach for that new uniform? Hi, Paul Hale from New Era Bank. And our new app has just what you need. Our app features person-to-person payments. This allows you to pay from your cell phone directly to someone else's. They receive a text from you and get the money real-time, even if you don't bank with us. Check out our website at www.newerabank.com for more information or call one of our locations. Member FDIC.
KJFF Festus Crystal City Imperial DeSoto.
Matt Greenwood with you for AM 1400. KJF DeSoto boys soccer head coach Nate Reiser with us as it starts to get even chilly in the press box here. But it's not about us, coach, at all. This is all about the kids on the field for the Windsor Owls. They are your Class 3 District 2 champions. A 2-1 victory in overtime over the Hillsboro Hawks, the defending district champion. Windsor Owls able to get it done again this year, back-to-back district titles for the first time in their boys soccer program history. So congratulations to them. Tanner Berry gets the game-winning goal, but in all honesty, coach, in my opinion, the excellent ball from Jake Mahone is the reason why we're talking about that goal.
Both are hard. You've got to find that spot from, 40 yards away to plop it in there?
Yeah, just about 40, yeah.
About 8 yards off the goalie, so the goalie doesn't come out and win it. So that's challenging. And then to battle your way through defenders to get to the head ball, it's difficult for both guys. That's what's so impressive about it is each side is necessary to make something like that happen.
Mahone had his name written all over this game. Whether it was on the defensive side or the offensive side, Jake Mahone made sure that he was involved in every aspect. Now, the first aspect of the game, he'd rather not be, the own goal. That gave Hillsboro a 1-0 lead. But then he gets a chance to redeem himself. Coach Kruger has enough faith in him that he's going to go ahead and step up and take that penalty kick and convert it, and he did. And then, again, the assist on that game-winning goal with Tanner Berry heading it in. Mahone, and not only that, but he also took the free kicks on the goal kicks. So Mahone obviously relied upon heavily to do a lot of great things for Coach Kruger and the Owls, and a senior for him. So this is last chance for Mahone and a few of these senior Owls to do something great for this program.
Right, and I think that's what's enjoyable about this district is that. That these guys all know each other. I've had the pleasure of coaching Jake Mahone when he was 10 years old, something like that. He played with my son. They played together. And so you see these guys grow up, and you see them do remarkable things when they're older, and you know they're going to. Because you saw them when they were little, you saw them develop, you saw every aspect of their game, and it's kind of fun to watch guys like this do great things. And when they have those bad moments, you know how they're trained. You know they're going to overcome a bad situation like an own goal to come back and go ahead and put that thing in the back of the net and have the confidence because they've been in the game before. And that's what I say about guys like Mark Moore, Borja Pena. Those guys, you can see that they're confident, quality kids. And the other part, it was fun to watch because these guys, if they would have a foul, they'd pick the other one up. Why? Because they've played against each other for years. They know each other. And it's not rivalry. It's camaraderie. It's realizing, I made a mistake there, but we're still buds, right? But I'm also going to come back and play hard against you.
Right. Man, what a game. And you brought up the history with Mahone because he stepped into the press box here. And Coach Reiser will go ahead and give up his headset. To Jake Mahone here. And by the way, I also failed to mention that Tanner Berry, if memory serves me correctly, and maybe Mahone or you can give me a nod here, Coach, but Tanner Berry is the one that got fouled in the 18-yard box that set up the PK. So, okay, Mahone's nodding his head, and I trust Mahone fully. Hey, Jake, congratulations on the district championship. Another one for you guys back-to-back years. How special is this one?
It's a lot of special. Coming in last year, I was coming off a pretty huge injury of breaking my knee, so after that, it was nice to play a full season and get one for myself. especially coming out senior year, winning back-to-back. Felt pretty good.
As Coach Reiser and I were talking about, your name was written all over this game, whether you wanted it to be in the first aspect of when it was to the last aspect. But the own goal.
Yeah.
It's a tough play. Riedenauer, you know, they teach you in soccer, when you're outside that 18-yard box, find a way to get the ball in there, see what happens. He did. You made a sliding effort there and unfortunately kind of deflected off your foot there and into the side of the net. But kind of what were you seeing on that play and what was your reaction when you saw it go in?
Well, I saw that he beat my guy down the line and he's just a quick, solid player. Nothing we could have done about it. I knew he was going to try to play it across because he had no angle, and I just had a late reaction. Seeing it go in the back of the net was kind of heartbreaking, but I knew my guys would have my back, and we'd go push it down and score one for ourselves.
Yeah, Coach Reiser, keeping a close eye on you after that own goal, said that you just eyes to the sky and what have you, just kind of in disbelief there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It didn't take very long for you guys to get back into the ball game. You go on the attack as soon as you can, and within about 60, 90 seconds or so, Tanner Berry chasing down a ball. He catches up to it. Goalkeeper comes out and winds up making contact with him and sends him tumbling over. And then Coach Kruger goes to you for mm-hmm. the PK. What was that, Coach Kruger picking you, or are you saying, hey, Coach, I'm going to take this one because I have something to make up for?
That's a practice. We always work on PKs, and we kind of have a order of what we want to do. Tanner's the top of that list, but since he got fouled, Kruger doesn't like to give the player that got fouled the PK because there's just too many emotions running through. So I'm the second in that pecking order, and I knew I had to bury it. I think I've taken four now this season, and I think he's had four as well.
All right, and you sent it lower part of the net into the corner, got Oshie diving the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to ask you if that's your favorite spot because we don't want to spoil it for other teams that might be listening that you could potentially play, but when you walked up to the football and you chose that spot, what were you sort of looking for as you approached the ball?
I saw him dive a little bit early, so I knew I had him beat right off the bat, and we were back in the game and ready to take the win.
So when you were ready to kick it, you saw him already diving the wrong
way?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I got a little stutter step in there. I don't know if it was on purpose or not. I just kind of got tripped up. So that messed him up, and I took advantage of it.
You play so all these goals happening in the second half, the own goal, then the PK converted. You play the last 20 minutes and get to overtime. And here comes overtime. You're halfway through, a couple of throw-ins here and there, not a lot of great long-standing possession until the final minute and a half or so. You guys earn a free kick from about 40 yards out, and here you are taking the free kick. And Coach Reiser and I were talking about just a beautiful ball into the box, and Tanner Berry is the one that takes charge and goes up and heads it in. Did you know it was a good pass the second it left your right foot?
I knew it was. But the thing about that was he's never really my target player. I always either try to find Anton Sokolic or Alex Barton because they're just our guys in the air. But Tanner will check that ball down, and he'll do whatever it takes to put it in.
And are you – it seemed like you're the designated guy to take goal kicks, to take free kicks. And
yeah, about halfway through the game, my goal kicks were just struggling. So I had Alex Barton drop back and take a couple for me because I don't know what was going on, but just didn't want to cost anything. I just couldn't get under it. But, yeah, during the regular season, we had our keepers try to take them, but they're just not getting it that far yet. They're both juniors, so I think once they step up next year, it'll be a lot better for them.
What was that moment like to see Tanner Berry head that one in?
Oh, it was great. I was so relieved because I knew if we would have ended up losing that game, that own goal would have never been lived down for me, knowing in my last high school game, scored an own goal.
Well, you certainly made up for it with the PK and the assist there, and you guys are back-to-back district champions. For those of us that aren't really clued in as to how last year's finish and you know where that was in terms of hearts racing and all that good stuff, kind of fill us in and compare those two, how last year's win for you guys and this year's win for you were.
Well, so 2 years ago when I was a sophomore, we ended up losing off of PK, not going into PKs, but like regular time PKs. So sophomore year, that was tough. And then junior year, we came in. We knew what we had to do. We weren't going to take them lightly. And we won it pretty easily, I think, with a 3-0 win. And then coming in this year, we had previously lost to them 4-1. We didn't have a full, healthy squad. And yesterday, we watched game film to know what we had to do better. And I think we definitely did that, listened to coach, and got it together. And it was just a great feeling to come out and play as good as we did.
What was it like defending Mark Moore out there? He's a pretty slippery guy.
He's a very solid player. Last year they played him at forward, and it was pretty different. He's very quick and very versatile. But I think they dropped him back into more of a midfielder position. So really, I had kind of the backup guy. I had my center mids covering him and just ready for whatever. But one guy that definitely surprised me was Sergio. He was causing a lot of havoc in the middle, just going around everybody. So I think with him dribbling through everybody and then giving off the mark makes Mark a lot more dangerous. So they'll be good together next year.
Yeah, and that was another guy I could potentially brought up for you to talk about. But talk about Borja Peña, midfield. He had to keep up with Mark Moore. A couple of times he won, a couple of times Mark Moore won. But Alex Barton was a name that we didn't really call out a lot in the first half, but in the second half he was all over everything. And
yeah.
And those two guys midfield for you, Barton a little bit of a midfield and defensive player. But those two guys really did a good job of possession and just making it difficult in that second half for the midfield.
A lot of it is communication, and we did a great job of that, saying, you check the ball, you cover me and whatever. And I would talk to them and be like, watch the corner, because I knew what his tendencies were. I knew where he wanted to go with the ball, because just soccer players all basically want to go to the same spot. If they see a little bit of an opening, they know where they're going to go. And Alex Barton was not – he's not a soccer player. He's just an athletic player that can literally do anything that he puts his mind to. And you can definitely see that in his just as pure athleticism, just getting up there, and his speed, especially. He's a great defender.
I don't tend to ask this type of question, but Cameron Gay goes down with an injury there.
I think he'll be all right.
It's very tough to see, I'll say that. But when you see a guy go down like that and he spends that much time on the turf, is it more of a let's now win it for Cameron Gay type of mentality, or is it still sort of a team focus?
It was still a team focus. Of course, that's always in the back of our minds, like, hey, we got to go out there and play harder because our starting center mid's not in. But as the trainer said down there, it's just a twisted ankle, so he should be back on Tuesday, and we'll be full strength, and we'll be ready.
All right, sectional round coming up on Tuesday. You get the weekend to sort of rest things and work on some things. What is Jake Mahone working on?
I'm going to catch up on some sleep. I'm going to be working a little bit. Yeah.
All right, district champion.
Yeah.
Good feeling, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Jake Mahone joining us here on the post-game show, and we'll go ahead and take a break here and come back and wrap this thing one up. Again, Windsor wins it 2-1 in overtime over the Hillsboro Hawks to claim back-to-back Class 3 District 2 championships. We're back here in 2 minutes on KJF.
Hi, everyone. It's Debbie Hamby with Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy. Did you know that we have a new store opening in Deloge? You can find us very soon at 1131 North Deloge Drive, right between Specs Optical and O'Reilly Auto. But don't worry, we will still have the same phone number and hours. Our new location will be more spacious and accommodating, plus it will include a full-service UPS store to take care of all of your print, ship, and mail needs. Stay tuned for more info on opening dates. There's so much to look forward to at Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy.
Mark Toady here with a look at my life away from the radio station. Once I get home, I usually melt into my recliner, which I got from Chris and Jamie at Patsy's Furniture in Park Hills. Heck, sometimes I don't make it out of the recliner. But if I do, I usually head over to my sofa, which also comes from Patsy's. And after a couple of hours of TLC with my recliner and sofa, it's off to bed, which, by golly, also comes from Patsy's Furniture in Park Hills. Hey, I love my furniture from Patsy's, right off Highway 67 at the Parkway Drive exit, and you won't find better people to deal with than Chris and Jamie. It really is true. You'll love to shop at Patsy's.
When it's all said and done, what really matters? For Serenity Hospice Care patient Jack, hospice isn't about giving up. It's not about the end. It's about right now. It's about spending precious time with the people we love.
Come on, Grandpa!
And the little moments that create lasting memories. It's focusing on what's important to you and remembering life is beautiful in all stages.
Put on your pirate costume and join Captain Hook and his friends on November 17th at the Festus Quality Inn for the YMCA's annual dinner auction. Proceeds from the auction provide services to folks in the Jefferson County community, regardless of their ability to pay. Buy a table and bring your friends, or purchase individual tickets. For information about the auction and the Jefferson County Family YMCA, call 636-931-9622. That's 636-931-YMCA.
KJF sitting with Chris Krueger, head coach of the victorious Windsor Owls. They take the Class 3 District 2 championship for the second year in a row, a 3-0 win over Hillsboro last year, and a much closer one, a battle throughout the entirety of this contest, a 2-1 overtime victory at the 8.5-minute mark, game-winning goal by Tanner Berry. Let's start there, Coach. Jake Mahone, as we just had here in the press box, talking about that free kick that he took from about 40 yards out. He said his target usually isn't Tanner Berry, but tonight Tanner Berry took control, took charge in the air, headed it into the side of the net, sending you guys to the sectionals again.
Yeah, Jake, he just fields teams out. As the game goes on, he's kind of playing a game of chess, figuring out where he can put the ball, who's getting the advantage. He just tries to put it there, and he relies on his teammates. We've got two or three guys that can really get up and get the ball, as you saw earlier in the game too. And when it mattered there, it was Tanner Berry that got up there. He just wanted it more. He just seemed to have an extra foot on his jump tonight right there at the end to put that ball in. So,
Coach Reiser and I were kind of talking about that play as a whole and what was greater. And maybe I shouldn't have brought that up, because altogether it was a great goal, a great pass to the perfect spot. The ball traveled so well, traveled to exactly where it needed to be, which Coach Reiser pointed out, something I didn't think about, which was further away from the goalkeeper rather than closer to the goalkeeper. And then Barry executes in the air for you. But if you were to break, if you could break down that play for us and kind of what you were hoping Mahone did as he approached the ball there on that free kick.
Basically, kind of what I told you, Jake has that freedom feel where the defense is setting up. You'll see our guys, they're kind of getting a feel up there where they want space-wise. And then he just finds that spot, exactly what you're talking about, with making sure that goalie has to make a decision. If you put it right at him, he gets to stay. If you put it out some, he's got to choose either stay on his line and rely on his defense, or he's got to come out and get it. And if a goalie has to come out and get it, anything can happen. So, Jake found the spot where he wanted to put it, and he put it there, and Tanner was there. I mean, it sounds so simple, but that
no,
that,
there's a lot of factors that go into kicking a ball as perfect as Mahone did.
He's done it for us all year long. He's taken probably 98% of our free kicks, and most nights he's about pinpoint. He doesn't miss hit it much or often. So.
We talked to Mahone about the own goal, the moment there. He said that if you guys would have lost, he would never been able to live that goal down himself. Was that sort of the thought process there when after the own goal, minute and a half or so later, you get that PK opportunity to actually have him step up and take it? Because he told us that he and Tanner Berry split time kind of take a penalty kick. So what ultimately came down to the decision to take him there?
Well, first, I'm glad he doesn't have to live with that.
I guess he did kind of explain it. He said that you don't like the guy taking the foul as the one to.
Exactly. So Tanner Berry's our go-to guy for PKs, but if he's the one that gets fouled, with high school kids, you just don't know how they're going to be after fouls. Sometimes they just need a moment to get back in the game, whether it's hard or soft. So if there's ever a penalty kick, it goes to Tanner Berry. But if Tanner Berry's the one that gets taken down, then Jake Mahone's the one that comes up and takes it. And it just so happened that Jake had the own goal, and then Tanner got taken down, and it was Jake's chance to kind of redeem himself. So in a storybook kind of way, it was perfect, you know. But Jake still has to get up there, and he's still got to put it in, and he's got to put that own goal out of his head when he's up there. And then even when he was up there, you saw the yellow card that was given to Hillsborough. So Jake had to take more time, kind of like freezing the kicker almost.
Yeah, I was going to say it was about 3 or 4 minutes before he actually took the penalty kick.
And if you saw with his just the senior presence there, he picked the ball up, he took it off the spot, he waited, and then he reset. That's a veteran move. I don't know if every kid would have picked that ball up and reset it. And, I didn't even have to tell Jake to do that. That's just the kind of soccer IQ he's got. And like I said, it couldn't have worked better for him in that situation.
You are district champions for back-to-back years for the first time ever in the boys soccer program here at Windsor. And still a lot of great things to accomplish, Coach, as you move forward into the sectional round awaiting for the Farmington-Cape Central game, which, by the way, would be in the second half at this moment. Still searching for a score there. But, again, based on first result between Farmington and Cape, a 10-2 in favor of the Knights. We'll see how it plays out. As Coach Reiser said, these kind of conditions, wet and cold and all that slippery stuff, the great equalizer. So, again, you don't know who your opponent is just yet. You'll find out probably here in about another 45 minutes or an hour. But as you move forward, what's key to keeping this playoff alive for you guys?
It's the boys playing as a unit. They understand the process. They know what we're good at. And that's what we're going to continue to try and do. They don't always like to play that way, but they understand that that's what we're good at.
Right.
And so that's what we're going to do. And as they get that mentality and they understand it, you can see the success they've been having. It's a special unit. They got the taste last year. They got to go to sectional last year and fell short to North County. And so coming into this season, both the seniors and then the juniors that were up last year on the varsity, they made that the goal, not only to be district champs, but to get further than they did last year, to try and get to state. If we would get there, it's the first time in school history. And they want to be that. Yeah. They want to be the best. They want to leave a good legacy. So there's 11 guys that were here last year that got to experience again this year. And so as long as they continue to believe and work together and communicate, who knows what can happen.
Sorry, I meant to have this sheet ready to talk to you about it. Let's see if I can find it here. Looking for your schedule, Coach. Coach Reiser doesn't have it amongst his things, which, by the way, I just now realized Coach Reiser left his pen here. all right, so, yeah, I don't believe you played Farmington this year.
We did
year.
Not. We didn't okay. play either one of the teams.
Okay.
We saw him last year in a tournament early in the year. We lost 5-4 to him.
Okay.
But they have a
– I can see you still don't like that result.
Well, it's just it's year to year. We don't have the same guys. They don't have the same guys.
Right.
They got a kid that transferred over from Perryville.
Gerstenberger.
Cole Gerstenberger, yeah. And so every year, every team's different. And every day, every game's different. And that's the mentality that we're trying to always preach with these guys, that tonight's tonight. We're going to celebrate tonight. We're going to rest tomorrow. And this weekend, we start thinking about Tuesday. We come in on Monday, and we've already forgot about tonight, and we're working on Tuesday. And I know it's kind of a crappy mentality, but if you want to be successful, you got to put it behind you. And then you hope that at the end of the year, you get to look back and really enjoy every one of those moments again. So.
All right, well, Coach Krueger, unfortunately, because of election night, won't be able to cover you guys in the sectional round, whether it's against Farmington or Cape Central. So best of luck to you on Tuesday, and if you keep moving forward, we'll do our best to be there to hopefully witness some history for you.
Thank you.
Coach Chris Krueger of the Windsor Owls victorious here in overtime, a 2-1 victory over the Hillsboro Hawks. Game-winning goal there by Tanner Berry, game-winning assist, if you will, by Jake Mahone. We'll step aside here for one more minute, come back with Chris Schott, the head coach of the Hillsboro boys soccer team, and wrap up our postgame coverage here tonight on KJF.
Hi, welcome to the UPS store.
Yeah, I'd like to ship this package.
Great, I can help you with that and every other ing.
Did you just say every other ing?
Printing, packing, copying, faxing, freighting, any ing your small business needs.
Shredding.
Yep.
Mailboxing.
Uh-huh.
Notarizing.
That too.
Wow, that's really some ing.
Now you're getting it.
The UPS Store. Every ing for small business. And, of course, shipping.
Hi, this is Jim, owner of the UPS Store in Festus in the Gannon Plaza. Come see us for all your printing, shipping, and packaging needs.
Make your backyard a paradise for your whole family. You can do it with a swimming pool. Hi, I'm Angie DeClue with Home Pools and Spas. We can make your vacation destination right outside your back door. Above ground or in ground, you have a choice of selections. Install now for years of great times.
Everybody's going home, pool, and spa.
To see pools and pricing, go to our website, homepoolsandspas.net. Again, I'm Angie DeClue, owner of Home Pools and Spas, inviting you to stop by. We're located just south of the Ludington exit.
Matt Greenwood back with you for AM 1400 KJF. Coach Schott of the Hillsboro Hawks allowing us to speak to Isaac Riedenauer. Forward for the Hillsboro Hawks team as they fall in overtime to Windsor in this Class 3 District 2 championship by a final score of 2-1. And Isaac, this is your senior year, so certainly a tough pill to swallow, but what a fantastic soccer game, though.
Thank you.
Give us your thoughts on the moment that the own goal happened for Windsor. You guys go up 1-0. I think it was about the 26-minute mark, somewhere around there, maybe 23 minutes. Not really sure exactly, but you get the own goal and you go up, and I'm sure good feelings all around.
Oh, yeah, it was an amazing feeling. I just tried to get down to the end line every time and got lucky that time and it went in.
Well, some say lucky, some say you did what you're supposed to do. You know, anytime you're around that 18-yard box, it's, you know, it's driven into players. Get that ball in the box. Get that ball in the box. See what happens. You never know what's going to happen. And for you guys, for you, you got in the box and a good thing happened for you guys. Response-wise, though, Windsor, I don't know what your expectations were, but kind of what were your expectations when that goal went in for how Windsor might react?
I expected them to push up a lot and be a lot more active in defending the ball. But I thought we would hold it better and not really get rid of it as fast as we did.
When the penalty was called on you guys in the 18-yard box, your goalkeeper, Oshie, came out and knocked Barry over. And that led to a Mahone penalty kick, and he ties the game. At that point, what are you guys thinking about? Are you feeling kind of wronged, or you feel like the wind came out of your sails a little bit? What was sort of the reaction to that game-tying goal?
I just felt like we let our guard down a little bit, and they got the better of us. We just need to step it up for the rest of the game.
And you did. I mean, the last 20 minutes went scoreless, or 20 and change went scoreless. You guys go 1-1 into overtime. What was sort of talked about in y'all's warming up huddle, I'm sure, because it was pretty cold out there tonight. What did Coach Schott talk to you guys about as you headed into that overtime period?
He just said that we need to do what we did before their goal and keep it up, keep getting it down to the end lines and possessing the ball more, because we possessed it for most of the game.
Give us a sense for how the surface did play tonight.
It was very, very slick. The ball went really, really fast. It was hard to control it at some points, but short passes were better.
I see you wear the captain's armband. I don't know how long you've been a captain for. Was it just this year?
Or? Just this year.
What was it like for you to have Coach Schott say, "Hey, Isaac, you're going to be a team captain this year"?
It made me feel really good. It made me have a sense of pride and made me play with a more level head on the field throughout the year.
You're not leaving behind a bunch of scrubs, are you?
No,
there's quite a few good players for this Hillsborough Hawks team. You got Mark Moore, first off. He's coming back. Mitchell Hickson, who we saw is a good, strong body and good with the ball at midfield and can play, you know, forward, can play back as well. Those two guys just sort of ring out for me a little bit. But talk about this season for you guys and the senior class and sort of your thoughts on the future of Hillsborough soccer.
It was a great season. I love playing with these guys. Love bonding with them. It's just a great team. The senior class, we had some good players. We're leaving behind from the starting lineup everybody but pretty much the front three and the goalie, so I think the future is going to be really good for them. They'll find people to replace us. They'll be fine.
Sergio Cruz, another one. Can't forgive myself if I don't mention Sergio Cruz, who, you know, sometimes those smaller guys, they do a lot better because they're just a lot faster. They get, you know, they get that low center of gravity. They can beat guys with the ball. They can get around guys a lot easier. Sergio Cruz certainly impressed me and Coach Reiser this evening. What's the future hold for Isaac Redenauer? Is it soccer? Is it I understand you're a track athlete as well. What's going on for Isaac?
Well, I plan to go run track and field at Maryville and study biochemistry.
Okay. All right. I would not go for the biochemistry at your age, me personally, because I'm not that smart. But All right, biochemistry it is for you. That's really cool. And you said you're going to run track at Maryville?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, good luck there. Isaac, I certainly appreciate you talking to us. It's nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
That is Isaac Riedenauer. Let me get that right. Isaac Riedenauer of the Hillsboro Hawks joining us here on postgame. Let's step aside for 30 seconds and give Coach Chris Schott a chance to put the headset on here as Windsor takes this district championship 2-1 in overtime.
Are you ready for an exciting new career that offers job security, flexibility, and independence? Rankin Technical College in Perryville is now accepting student applications for a 10-week CDL training class. The Gilster Mary Lee Corporation will provide the necessary funding for program training if your application is approved. You'll receive a benefits package which includes miles paid by the hub, paid downtime, unloading allowances, vacation Christmas and holiday bonuses, plus insurance. Call Mike Welker today at 800-851-5300.
Greenwood back with you for AM 1400 KJF. Want to thank some of our sponsors, Mineral Area College, Park Hills, Bloomsdale Bank and Bloomsdale, Herculaneum, St. Genevieve and Crystal City, Patsy's Furniture of St. Joe Drive in Park Hills, as well as Presbyterian Manor in Farmington. Can't forget about the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy in Deloge, Fredericktown, Ironton, and Farmington, as well as Gilster Mary Lee and Serenity Hospice Care. And we've got Chris Schott, head coach of the Hillsboro Hawks, joining us here, our final segment of our postgame coverage here as Windsor takes the Class 3 District 2 championship in overtime. A game-winning goal for Tanner Berry off the free kick by Jake Mahone. 2-1 your final score. And Coach Schott, what a great 2018 for the Hillsboro Hawks. You finished 9-11-2, but the record really not indicative of how good you guys were because you play so many tough teams, and you and I had talked about that earlier this week leading up to this game. But kind of your first initial thoughts, what's kind of going through your head after the season wraps up here tonight?
First off, you feel bad for the guys the way the game ended. You know, we played really well. I thought we keep stats on the sideline, our managers, time of possession, passing, stuff like that. And we had the better of the play, and this game can be brutal sometimes. You don't always win the games you outplay the other team in. And their guys never quit after we got down. You know, we kind of misplayed a ball in the midfield and just kind of rolled back, and the surface was so slick. Seth slides out, missed the ball but just by a little bit, but, you know, his body carried him through their forward, and it just resulted in a penalty kick where – you know, heck, the ball was almost out of bounds, but that's the part. It's hard to swallow. It's nobody's fault, really. It's just one of those things that happens in the game, and, you know, they've made the best of their chance they had in overtime, and, you know, you feel bad for the 9 seniors, but like you said, there's guys that are coming back to hopefully step up and fill the 4 starters' roles, but also those guys that come off the bench that are seniors too.
I'm glad you mentioned the goalkeeper. It's something I failed to talk to Windsor coach about, Coach Kruger, but certainly got to talk to you about Seth Oshie because he made some really good saves, some really smart decisions. There was one, I don't remember, I think it was early second half, a header towards the top of the crossbar, and he knocked it down with both hands and kept possession for you and then threw an out pass for you guys. But Seth Oshie, a senior goalkeeper for you that is obviously moving on to something else, but he really stood out tonight for you guys.
Yeah, and he's somebody that didn't play the game until his sophomore year of high school, so he's come a long way. He made a save like that the other night. You know, it's just one of those things where he's really quick, and it was a ball off a corner. You know, the one the last game I'm thinking of was a head ball straight down to his feet, gets down and gets it. But, you know, that's point blank. It was almost the same tonight. But like you said, it was up more towards the bar. But, yeah, he kept us in the game, made some nice plays. And like I said, he's come a long way in 3 years, you know, to a varsity starter. So it was good to see him progress and do the things that he's done for us.
Let's talk a little bit about gameplay, Coach Schott, here. In the first half, it seemed like midfield possession for you guys was really, really strong. Mark Moore, oh my goodness. I mean, how many times did he touch the ball through the midfield and sort of turn up field and get Riedenauer out on the wings? And even Tello a couple of times chased a few Mark Moore balls down as well. But Mark Moore was a great presence for you and some long shots early in that first half. What was the idea there in the first half with those, you know, long goal attempts?
Sometimes, you know, it's, with the conditions like they are, if you put one in there and you short hop that goalie with how slick it is, sometimes you sneak one under or, you know, misplays it. So I think Mark was probably just kind of testing him right off the bat just to see, you know, if he could sneak one in early. But our three mids that were in there, you know, they never came off the field other than halftime and at the break before overtime. But Mitchell, Mark, and Sergio all, I thought they dominated the midfield. We were able to get it out to our winger, swing it through the middle to the other side almost at will, it seemed like at times. But we just couldn't get that ball. They put seemed like about five guys across the top of the box, and they were kind of doubling Isaac on their left side, our right side. So they knew what they were trying to take away. Like I said in the interview, I guess this morning was we know each other so well. We know each other's tendencies. So they knew what to take away from us, and, you know, we kind of knew what to take away from them. And it was a really good game back and forth. But, you know, we gave up that first goal, and then the second goal was just, you know, the guy we missed a mark, and, you know, he made us pay for it.
Second half, couldn't quite really tell who won the second half when it came to possession. It seemed like it was just about 50-50. But you guys, you know, continue to press and read Nauer, as I said, and I'm sure you would repeat as well. When guys are around the 18-yard box, get the ball in, see what happens, make the best pass you can possible. Reed Nauer said he did, and it worked out for you guys. So you get, you know, out in front 1-0, and kind of what was going through your head at that time?
Well, the goal was great. I mean, I know it was an own goal, but, you know, Isaac made that happen. I can't remember who he got the ball from, but that's
– Neither can one, I, sorry, coach. Yeah,
that's one of his things where, you know, we – And he listens. He's a great player. You know, he knows what his strengths are, and his strength is getting by that wing back and diving down towards that end line and looking for guys crashing in the middle, because the strikers know, the midfielders know, crash the middle. Isaac's going to be his guy, you know, draw the defender to him and the keeper to the near post, and the middle of the goal is usually open. And Isaac made that play, played it in. It just got one of their guys before it got ours. So, the goal that they scored, it was just one of those, like I said before, it was kind of a freak thing. I think maybe our guys weren't settled down yet. You know, the adrenaline's pumping on both teams, you know, and you always, after a goal, you want to try to come back as calm as you can and just keep playing the way you were playing. But right when they tied it, I think it was maybe a minute and a half.
Yeah, what, too long?
After we scored. And it seemed to kind of get more frantic. It was almost like watching a tennis match, because it was down in our end, then it was down in their end, back and forth. So, but there was never really any great scoring opportunities that materialize for either team. So you're almost thinking we should just skip the overtime and go to PKs, because that's what it felt like.
It would be fun.
That's why you thought it was going there anyway. But no, the second half, you know, when it got late and when the game's tied like that in a big game, players get kind of frantic. Like, if that clock hits zero and we're still tied, the world's going to end, you know. And that's kind of what I told our guys when we came off after regulation, is that just calm down. You don't need to score in the first minute. You know, you got 30 minutes to get it done, and if not, then we got penalties, which you don't like to go to. But, you know, it's not do or die every second when the game's tied. You know, you still have time, so you just be patient.
And my broadcast partner tonight, as you are well aware of, Nate Reiser, head coach for DeSoto, he pointed out that when it comes to soccer, the first 5 minutes of a game are important. The last 5 minutes of a half are important. But also the first 5 minutes after a goal is scored. And, you know, again, within about 90 seconds or so, here comes Windsor the other way. They get the PK and eventually tie it up, coach. These guys roll off your tongue quite quickly. I got to look at the roster here again. Mitchell Hickson, Sergio Cruz, and Mark Moore, three of your very strong midfielders, very important to your success this year. They're coming back for their senior year. Kind of dive in for us, coach, real quick. Your thoughts on the senior class coming back?
Senior classes, I mean, even our back line, three of the four back line players or starters are all juniors as well, with a freshman on the other side. But like Isaac pointed out, you know, our three starting forwards and our goalkeeper are seniors. And those are, you know, you talk about losing guys and how are we going to fill their shoes and this and that. But guys always step up. They may not be the same player as the guy that left that position, but guys always tend to step up as they mature. You know, they materialize and have skill that you didn't know, or they just physically mature and they get a little faster, a little stronger, and more confident. So you always, you know, for a while we'll think about the guys we're losing, but, you know, as a coach, you're always looking at next year, even while the course of the season's going, and trying to figure out which guys, hey, we need to get some more playing time for these guys, because they're going to be big factors next year as well. But, yeah, the midfield, you know, those guys are set. And we got some other midfielders that would come off the bench that, you know, they may materialize into forwards for us. So it's just one of those things we'll look at, you know, in the off season, the summertime and all that stuff, and just kind of set our sights on that. And, you know, you always start with one lineup, but you never finish with the same one you started in August. So.
All right. Well, coach, I guess after this after this fall comes to an end, you got spring soccer to get ready for, don't you, girls soccer?
Kick around start on the 14th, so we're less than 2 weeks away.
Oh, it's all. Oh, it begins that early.
Well, the girls, you know, they're always asking me, "Hey, when are open field / kick around starting?" So we already kind of got a tentative schedule. I didn't want to put it out in writing yet, but I kind of have one where we, you know, have field time reserved and that. So, you know, November 14th is when we start kind of having the kick arounds, which are completely voluntary, but they'll come out in droves when the weather's nice and not as much when it's, you know, 20 degrees. But, you know, there's always some that show, and if they want to try to get better, we'll be there for them to do that.
Your daughter's going to be a senior this year, isn't she? Or
Yep, she'll be a senior.
Okay, I saw her as a manager, one of your managers down there on the field earlier. So
yeah, she was on the bench first half and then films the second half. Her and Brianna take turns. So.
Okay, well, very cool. Well, Coach Shad, as always, appreciate all of your time helping us out here. And sorry for the loss this evening, but you're a great coach to talk to, and we appreciate your time again.
All right, well, thanks for coming out and covering the game. I appreciate it.
You got it. Chris Schott, head coach of the Hillsboro Hawks, as they fall in the Class 3 District 2 Championship. The Windsor Owls upend them 2-1 in overtime. The own goal by Jake Mahone put Hillsboro up 1-0 midway through the second half. A penalty kick taken by Mahone converted to tie it up at 1 apiece. And then the overtime winner at the 8.5-minute mark, Tanner Berry, assisted by Jake Mahone. Berry heads it into the side of the net, corner, top corner and side, sort of a little between those two directions there, if you will. So Windsor gets it 2-1 in overtime over the Hillsboro Hawks, winning the Class 3 District 2 Championship. Do me a favor, and we'll hold off on the favor. I want to thank Potosi Lumber of Potosi, Bryant Restoration, Farmington, Poplar Bluff, as well as Little Caesars Pizza and Herculaneum, and Mario's Italia of Farmington. But if you will, do me a favor, especially you Windsor fans, go ahead and tune into J98, 98.5 FM right now, because Andy Humphrey has the final, I guess, probably 15, 20 minutes or so of the Class 3 District 1 championship game between Farmington and Cape Central. Windsor will get to host the winner of that Farmington-Cape Central game in the sectional round on election night, which is next Tuesday the 6th. So do me a favor, go to 98.5 FM on your radio dials or in your home and tune in to Andy for the wrap-up there. Congratulations to the Windsor Owls on the 2-1 victory. Congratulations to Hillsboro on a successful 2018 season. It falls short here at home to the Windsor Owls, 2-1, your final score. I want to thank Ryan Reinhauer back in the KJS studio for getting us started, Dale Bruning for finishing us up. For Nate Reiser, the head coach of the DeSoto boys soccer team, going out of his way to do the broadcast with me here this evening. Truly appreciated his insight and just being here and talking soccer with us. So hope you enjoy the broadcast. Thanks for being with us. Again, Windsor wins it 2-1. They are Class 3 District 2 champs.
When life changes, where can you get the health care that you or your loved one needs? Try Presbyterian Manor, where we consider you family. Being a member of our family means having a skilled, compassionate team, making sure you live your best life. Call 573-7000.